Okay, we're holding on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. So now we finished with, for now, the all the details about wine and grapes and whatnot, what a nazir is not allowed to eat. Now on to the second thing of what a nazir is not allowed to do, which is cut or shave his hair. So the Mishnah starts off, Stam Nazirus Lamed Yom. Nazirus unspecified is 30 days. Which that, I mean, the Mishnah doesn't really need to tell us that. We already learned that in the first parak. The Mishnah is telling us that as an introduction to the next part of the Mishnah. Namely, the Mishnah continues, Gilach, what if the Nazir shaved his hair during the 30 days? Oshaguchu listim, or robbers, bandits, cut his hair against his will. Soysalamad Yom, then he loses 30 days of his Nazir. Now, Tosfos learns that it's not necessarily he loses 30 days. It's he loses enough days in order to have a 30-day growth of hair when he cuts his hair. The rule is, the Gemara is going to talk about, and the Gemara will talk about other opinions in it, but according to the Tanakhama over here anyway, according to the Chachamim, you need, when you're doing the Tiglachas Tara, when the Nazir is shaving his hair at the end of his Nazirus, there needs to be at least 30 days growth of hair. So let's say, for example, he was 10 days into his Nazirus, the Ballistim shaved him. Then he's going to need another 10 days at the end to make up for that. He'll have 20 days remaining after that, but his hair will start growing back. But that's not enough. 20 days is not enough. He'll need another 10 days.
So he needs 30 days of growth.
He needs 30 days of growth, yeah, exactly. That's the point. In other words, if he made the neder on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and then comes Yud, which then it should have lasted just 30 days until Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Robbers come and shave him on Yud Cheshvan. We're saying now he's going to have to, from Yud Cheshvan to Yud Kislev, he's going to have to go 30 days, 20 days left from his original Nazirus, plus an extra 10 days, which originally he shouldn't have had to do. He should have been able to bring his Karbanos and shave his hair on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Now he can't because of this. Now he has to wait till Yud Kislev.
He has
40 days instead of 30, right?
That's 20 days and 10 days. It's not
that's the point. So that's the point. No, it is. It's 30 days of growth altogether. They shaved him on Yud Cheshvan and now on Yud Kislev. Good, now on Yud Kislev. A month later, he's shaved.
Oh, on Yud Kislev. Yud,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the Tosfos discusses, therefore, that, for example, let's say his Nazirus originally was 60 days and they shaved him on the 30th day. Nothing happens. He shouldn't lose anything because there's still 30 days remaining of his Nazirus. Having said that, though, the Rambam learns differently. The Rambam learns that, no, there always has to be 30 days growth even after the listim or he himself or whatever shaved himself. So, yes, for example, according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter the length of the Nazirus. If, for example, to give Tosfos an example, it was a 60-day Nazirus and they shaved him on the 30th day, he's going to attack and need an extra 30 days. The 30 days that he had from the beginning effectively don't count for that purpose. He needs 30 days for the hair to grow back to the length that it was when they shaved him, or when he shaved, whatever it is, and then from there he needs another 30, and then from there he needs the rest of his Nazirus. So to give our original example, if he became a Nazir just for 30 days, beginning with Chodesh Cheshvan, if they shaved him on the 10th, then there's no practical difference. In that kind of scenario, there's no practical difference between the Rambam and Tosfos. Either way, he needs to go to Yud Kislev. But if it was a Nazirus Merubah, if it was longer Nazirus originally than 30 days, he's going to lose the amount of time that it takes to make up 30 days.
Okay, so if it's 60 days, he's okay.
Then no, according to...
So it happened on 29 days, there's another 31 days to go. It don't
count. No, but that doesn't work, though. According to...
From the
haircut. He needs to count 60 days. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Right. Continues the Mishnah. Nazir shegilach, if a nazir cut his hair, ben bezug, whether with scissors, ben batar, whether with a razor, or sif-sif kol shehu, or he sif-sif anything. Now, what does sif-sif mean? Rashi relates the word sif-sif, seems to relate to the word sif-sif to sif, meaning he just pulled off the end of the hair. Instead of pulling out the whole, instead of, let's say, a tar would be a razor or something that cuts the hair all the way down to the roots, down to the skin level. Sif-sif would basically mean like the person pulled off an end of the hair, leaving some part of the hair still embedded in the skin. Tosfos talks about that sif-sif may mean that he actually pulled out the hair from the root. So in other words, a tar would be you cut the hair all the way down to the root, and then sif-sif would be you pull it out all the way to the root. And the Rosh talks about the Rosh seems to talk about the possibility that maybe sifsif just means like rubbing the hair. You know how when you rub or scratch for a while, the hair starts falling out. Sifsif would be Moloshin shifshif, like he rubbed. Whatever it is, kol shehu, any amount, chayev. Then he'd be chayev malchus for it. So as far as this business about that he got, suppose the nazir got his hair cut, v'rotun of oynus, as the case may be, in the middle of his nazirus. So, the Gemara is going to now get into an interesting question in physiology, an interesting question in biology. How does hair grow? The Gemara says the Chachamim had a question. Hai mazia milatachas rabi o milael? Does hair grow from the bottom or from the top? So, meaning, well, in other words, if this is the hair, if this the hair starts out over here in the scalp. And then as it's growing, what it is new hair is growing out from the bottom, from the scalp. So what was the end keeps on getting further and further out. Or is it the hair is this, for example, it grows from this end. This part, for example, still stays where it is. This end keeps on growing, which is how trees grow, for example. So in the case of hair, what is it? L'mayin nafka mina, the Gemara says, what would be the practical difference? The difference would be, in our case of the Mishnah, well, nazir shel gochur listim, what if robbers shaved a nazir's hair, but not completely. They didn't shave it all the way down to the skin. They left enough hair, enough that the hair could be bent down. You could double the hair. You could take the end of the hair and bend it down, and it would touch the root. Which in general, what? Well, the Gemara explained on a day is that's generally how long hair grows in 1 week. In 1 week, hair, generally, I was going to talk about another day, in 1 week, hair generally grows. If you cut it down, if you took a zero haircut, or even less than that, you shaved with a razor, like, and then let it start growing for a week. After a week, it would be long enough to get locked for racial history, that you could then take the end of it and bend it. It's long enough that you could then take the end of it and bend it down to touch the root. I don't know, have you ever tried?
No,
but it's, you know, I mean, the hair may be taken very short, but conceivably, I mean, you maybe not with your bare hands, it might be too small to grab a hold of, but maybe with tweezers or something, yeah.
It probably depends on the
hair, but the Gemara says on average, the Gemara is going to say on average, that's how it is. Now, in general, in halacha, a hair that's long enough to lock a ferocious ikron is usually, in halacha, that's considered to be the shortest length that's considered hair. Any shorter than that, for in general, in halacha, is not considered hair.
Shorter than what?
Shorter than that shear, could they lock a It's relevant, for example, to shteisiris, where a boy or girl only becomes an adult, la halacha, when they develop shteisiris. Those hairs have to be long enough, could they lock a ferocious leichron. If they're shorter than that, then could they lock a ferocious leichron. The end could be bent down to touch the root, the root. Actually, the truth is, in the case of shteisiris, the Gemara mentions a day over there in the Mishnah that even shorter, if it's short enough to be grabbed hold of by tweezers, even if it's not short, even if it's not long enough to be bent over, maybe it is. So, okay, once it's that length, then it's already a suffix, whether the child or an adult. Let's not get into that. For most purposes in halacha, though, kedin lakuf ferocious leikron is considered the shortest thing that's considered hair. So now, these listim left over that amount of hair on his head. So, iamet milatachas rabi, so if you say that hair grows out from the root, then nazirus hashakli. Effectively, then what you have is the hair that was on his head at the time he declared the nazirus has been taken away, which means he's going to lose days, like we said in the Mishnah. Because what happens, originally the hair was this long, the listim cut it down to here, this is still, so, originally when he declared nazirus, let's say the hair was this long. The hair has been growing from the root, so by now that part is up here. Now the listen came and cut that off. All they left is this. Therefore, the hair that was there when he declared the zeros is gone. And he should have to start over. Or not start over, but start enough to be 30 days or 30 new days, according to Tosfos or the Rambam. No. If you say that it grows from the end, then what he was makdish at the beginning, he became a nazir when the hair was this length. Now it's continued growing upward. That part is still there, close to his scalp. What's grown out is an extension of that. The listim came and cut that off. Fine, he's left with what he started with.
But did you say this anyway? What?
No, but that's...
Right, he said this to start.
No, but that's the argument. Is that's the argument? Maybe that then the, maybe then he should maybe he shouldn't leave. Maybe he shouldn't leave the 30 days. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All hair is prohibited for him to be cut. So even if it's new hair, even if it's hair that wasn't there when he was there in his year, why would that be
the death of a skull problem?
Well, no, but because the fact of the matter is, I mean, yes, of course he's not allowed to cut any hair that grows during his nazir. But you can still sort of make a distinction between the hair that he had when he began his nazirus and like new hair that wasn't there before. Where now all, according to the first way of looking at it, what he has left is hair that wasn't there when he first started the nazirus. So therefore, we have to let it grow. We have to let it grow out in order for it to be significant for the cutting of it to be something significant.
It grows from the bottom. It cuts it in the middle.
So now all that's left is hair that had not been from the bottom to the middle, which had not existed at the time that he declared Nazirus.
Right.
So that's what we're arguing. Maybe that's not considered choshuv enough to say that now, that's it, he can now go take his Nazirus haircut and have done with it. No, maybe you have to let it grow out until it's the proper length.
If it grows, they say it grows from the middle.
If it grows from the tip. If it's the tip that grows like trees do,
yeah.
if it's the tip that grows like trees do, then it means that the hair that he declared Nazirus with is this, and that hair is still there. Before it grew, and now you have this whole extension that wasn't there originally, which yes, also has the Kedusha of the Nazir. Now the list didn't cut it off. Fine, but he left with this, which at least he started with the Kedusha of the Nazir with that. Therefore, we have significance enough that maybe he doesn't need to be so any days. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, come, let's try to bring a proof. Meha inba chaya, from a live inba. Now Rashi translates inba as beitzei kinim, which sounds like it means, which usually would mean lice eggs. So maybe taka it means, I mean, the Gemara is going to talk about that keeps on slipping down. If it's lice egg because it has chayus in it, lechora lice eggs have chayus in it. So I don't know, in the art school notes, they argue there's places in the Gemara where it uses the word beitzei kinim to mean actually a different species of lice. So the actual live bugs themselves rather than the eggs, but there's one type called kinim and another type called beitzei kinim. Could be, or it could be maybe it does taka mean the actual eggs, the actual nits. Whatever it is, the claim be ikva de bimsa. You find it always at the bottom of the hair. The isaf da'atach melakachas rabbi. Now, if hair grows from the bottom out, there should have been some boil of makeup. Then what would you have when this basic kinim, again, whether you're talking live insect or whether you're talking an egg, doesn't matter for our purposes, when it starts out, let's say, on this, it starts out, let's say, on this part of the hair. If the hair is growing outward like that, and eventually you should find some of them are at the bottom, some of them are at the middle, some of them are at the top.
If
it grows on the top, then this part was always there. So the egg, let's say, got attached over here, close to the scalp. This part still stays as it is. It's this part that grows out.
But who says it cannot grow from the top and the bottom?
No, we're assuming it's one or the other. There's no reason to assume that it would be. No, what we mean is, if it grows from the bottom, means that you start out, the hair is like this.
Right.
And then it becomes like this, and then like this, and then like this, etc.
Right.
It keeps on emerging from the scalp.
Right.
As opposed to if you say it grows from the top, it means it starts out like this, and then it keeps on growing, just the top grows, which is how trees grow, for example.
Right. So the point could move on the hair.
Well, that's what the Gemara is assuming at the moment, that they don't. And therefore the question. If they, assuming they don't move, then you should find them on various places of the hair, but you always find them at the bottom. Doesn't that prove that they grow from the top? That hair grows from the top? The answer is no. La'olam mitibul natachas rabi. No. You could say that hair grows from the bottom, but keeps on emerging, new hair keeps on emerging from the scalp. The agav chayus and nachas v'adol inba, but the louse, or either the bug or the egg, as the case may be, has a chayus in it. It's constantly trying to get back to the scalp because that's where it gets its nourishment from the person's sweat, from their blood, whatever it is exactly that lice live off of. So therefore, yes, as the hair grows out, the louse is going to move down.
So that proves that it goes from
You can't prove one way or the other. You could argue that it grows from the bottom and the louse has to keep moving down, or you could argue it grows from the top and the louse doesn't need to move. But whatever it is, you don't have a proof one way or the other from that. Grows from the top would mean that you have a hair starts out, let's say, like this. You have a hair comes out, the bottom, like a tree, the bottom of the hair is embedded in the scalp. that the part, let's say if you have a certain part of the hair that is a half inch from the scalp, that part is always going to remain a half inch away. How does the hair get longer? The end of it, the top end, the end far away from the scalp, keeps on growing longer and longer. According to that way of looking at it, the bottom wouldn't move. Which is how trees, again, that's how trees grow, for example. If you look at a tree, for example, and you find, let's say, a tree has a fork in it 3 feet above the ground, that fork is never going to be 4 feet above the ground. It's always going to remain 3 feet above the tree. It's only the top part of the tree that grows taller and taller every year. So maybe hair is like that, or maybe not. So, okay, so you don't have a proof from the lice. Okay, Tashma, come, let's try to bring a proof in Vermesa. What about a dead louse? Or a dead louse egg, as the case may be, and where do you find it? At the top of the hair. So now we can argue the other way around. If hair grows from the end, and then you should find the eggs should be on the bottom of the hair. How do they wind up on the top? They can only wind up on the top, Lahora, if they start out on the bottom, and as the hair is growing, they travel along with it. And they're dead, so you can't say they have chayus. And the answer is Hasanami, no, not necessarily, because there also you could argue, Mishum de Left Bachela, on the contrary, because it doesn't have any chayus, because it's dead. Shirugi Shirugi Ba'azel, so it sort of slips along the hair, like it doesn't have the ability, unlike a live one, to go down to the bottom, so therefore it kind of gets, it kind of like slips along, even if you argue that the hair grows from the top. What's happening is, therefore, it's gradually sliding along the hair shaft. It's gradually sliding away from the scalp. Okay. Tashma, come, let's try to prove midlotus tikushim. What about from the blotus, the long hair that kushim wear? Now, kushim in our Gemara is probably most likely it's the censors changed it from nachrim or ojavet azara or some such thing, because we find in a number of places in Shas it was very common that the goyim in those days wore blotus. They'd shave their hair in the front basically, and they'd wear like a long lock of hair in the middle or the back of their head, a little bit like a mohawk, I guess, kind of. A little bit, but not really. It would be like a long thing in back, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah explains to the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah talks about that the Goyim would make, that every so often they'd cut it off in honor of their Avodah Zarah, and that day they'd make it a personal Yom Tov, the day that they cut off their blotus. And this blotus has, it comes up in other areas of Halacha also, for example, mentioned, the Gemara mentions in Makos that a Jewish barber, if he's giving a Goy a haircut, and the Goy wears one of these blotus, because the blotus is dedicated to Avodah Zarah, the Yid is not allowed to cut the hair all the way to the blotus, because that would effectively be leaving it in honor of the Avodah Zarah. He has to stop a couple of fingers of worth of hair away from the blotus and not cut. Yeah, so the blotus starts, let's say, from here or something. I don't know. So you'd have to stop, let's say, from here, a couple of etzvahs away from it. So, okay, I mean, you could argue maybe that if you say that the word kushim really means kushim, okay, you could say it means like dreadlocks or something. Whatever it is. You see that after they grow it out, it starts getting loose on the bottom. So what do? In other words, so they make their blotus, they have the hair left long, and then they tie it up tightly. After a while, you notice that the knot is loose. It's coming loose from the head. That should prove then that the hair is growing from the bottom. So it's pushing out the knot further out, and therefore loosening it. The answer is not necessarily. Hasam Nami, you could argue over there. I did come to he because it's precisely because it's tight against the skull originally. Mishichva derafia. So you lie on it, and therefore that loosens it. Therefore that even if the hair grows from the top, but lying on it also loosens things a little and makes it the blotus is not as tight against the skull as it was originally. So you still can't prove that the hair grows from the bottom. Okay, Toshma. Misarta, how about let's prove from when you put red paint on the sheep when you do Maisa Behema that we talked about the other day, you lead them through the door over there, and each tenth one you strike with a stick that has red paint on it, and therefore afterwards you know which ones have been designated Maisa Behema. The Rafi Amram Lotachas, and you see that later on the wool is looser and softer underneath. If the hair grew from the top, what would happen? You'd see that the part of the wool that was painted red, you would see then that wool is a little stiffer. That wool is a little stiffer because of the paint, and you would see that it's still close to the skin. But you don't. You see, it keeps on moving out away from the skin, and the new wool that's growing out underneath it is softer. And the red paint itself loosens because of that, because the hair is growing out underneath it. The Tanya, or Tanan, and in fact we learn about that kind of thing in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah in the Chodesh mentions this idea about hitting them with the red paint. So all these things we tried to prove until now from live lice, from dead lice, from the goyim and the blurits, is examples from real life. So you could argue one way or the other. Here we have an actual example in halacha, where you see that you put red paint on the sheep and you see what happens afterwards. So why is that considered? So okay, there are mafarshim who don't have the girsa over here with Tanya or Tanan, but according to the girsa, Rashi mentioned this and says that that's what the Gemara means. I guess what the Gemara is trying to say is, in a way, a proof from something in Torah is stronger than a proof from the natural world. The natural world, okay, you can stand for this, that, the other, like we just said. Something in Torah, though, is something in Torah.
So the red paint, you're saying,
you put the red paint on the wool as it is right then, and then you check back a week later.
The whole length.
No, not the whole length necessarily. You hit the sheep on some point, and on some point of its body, and yeah. Now there's a red stripe on there.
On the scalp?
Somewhere on the body of the sheep. Yeah. But now if you check back a week later, you'll find that that red paint, that it's not one solid mass anymore. It's like it's coming apart a little because new wool is growing out from underneath it and pushing it apart. Yeah, I mean, we don't really find Guzman in halacha so much, but I think maybe what the Gemara, you know, there's a verse of Shamshin Afal Hirsch says that we look at the Torah like a scientist looks at nature. A scientist looks at nature, he finds, you know, certain observations in nature, and he works up a theory to explain them. You know, I noticed this, I don't understand how this, you know, why does this thing behave the way it does, why does that, you know, and then he works up a theory to that's how we work with Torah. The Torah is our reality. So therefore, when we have a proof from something that's done as a matter of halacha, and it's mentioned in Mishnah, in a way that's a stronger proof than something that you could bring from the natural world. The two, and we can bring another proof. When old people dye their beards, and this was a real thing in those days. It's a bit of a discussion, halacha, whether you're allowed to do that. It can be a matter of yovashgeva. We'll talk about some related things in a few about yovashgeva, that a man is not allowed to use feminine ornaments. To dye his hair would be one issue with that. But not necessarily are we talking about people do it as, you know, that they, whether they're allowed to or not allowed to in halacha. As a practical matter, you have people who do it. The Gemara actually in Bava Metzia tells us, in the Perek HaZahav, tells us an interesting story over there about an Eved in the times of Rava, an Eved Tani. He was old. He knew nobody's going to be interested in having him as an Eved anymore. So he dyed his hair and beard to look much younger. And he goes looking for employment, for somebody to buy him as an Eved. So he'll have some money to live off of. He goes first to Rava. And Rava tells him, sorry, the poor people should be the members of your household. Meaning, if I need help around my house, why should I go buy an Eved Kanani? Better let me give the job to a Yid. So he didn't buy him. The guy goes to the Papa Bar Shmuel, and the Papa Bar Shmuel figures the Mishnah, and obviously only merely the Chassidus, so whatever it is, he overlooks it, he ignores it, and goes and buys this Eved. Time passes, he asks the Eved for a drink of water, and drink the water in those days, you know, wasn't Sam going to the sink and filling up a cup. It was a whole shlepper dye. They go to the well and whatever, so the Eved didn't want to bother. He goes, washes out the dye from his hair and beard, and comes back to the Papa Bar Shmuel, and he says, you realize I'm older than your father even. How you talking? You should be asking me to do work for you. So the Papa realizes he's in a bind now. What's he going to do? I mean, he has to say, he's bought him. He can't easily sell him now, especially since he's old. He's not going to force him to do work. Take, it's true, he is old. You're supposed to give cover even to an elderly guy. So now he's stuck. He has an Eved that he can't really do anything with. So he realizes that Rava was right to tell the guy to take a pass. Yeah. Anyway, so such things were done in those days then. So when old people dye their beards, chavlan ikve nimon. So what do you see? That eventually the roots of the hair come out white again. Yeah? Shema minu melatachas, Rabbi. So that shows the hair grows from the bottom. Because if it grew from the top, then Rabbi, you'd see the tips would be white. Shema minu. Okay, that proves it. before we leave.
It's a little like the sheep when you put the paint through.
Yeah, that's a similar idea. Yeah.
Similar idea.
Yeah.
So what is
that? Okay, because that's sheep, this is people. You could argue maybe sheep and people are different. Yeah.
Isn't the argument very basic?
Yeah, that's the style of the Gemara as it goes through questions and answers. I'll tell you though, there's an interesting thing, and there's a little commentary in Ein Yaakov published on the bottom of some of the pages called Habonya. The author of it was Rabbi Huda Arya of Modena. He was a rav in Italy about 400 years ago. Rather interesting character in Jewish history. Among other things, he's very famous for he was dead set against Kabbalah, and he wrote a whole book arguing against Kabbalah, which later on many other Achronim wrote to refute his claims. But he was an interesting character. They say about him, actually, I was reading an article, Hebrew Wikipedia has an article about him. They mentioned that when he was 2.5, he was able to read the Haftarah and Shul. Anyway, he's an interesting character in a lot of different ways. He wrote a little commentary on Ein Yaakov called Habonya, mostly like philosophical ideas. So he says, what are the deeper ideas behind what the Gemara is saying over here? He says, hair represents a person's tivus, like the unnecessary things in life. That's the whole idea about nausea, like letting his hair grow. Like I'm not interested in tivus of life, and eventually I'm going to cut it off. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, like, what's the source of all these tivus? Do they essentially come from within the person, which would be like it grows from the bottom out, or does it essentially come from the outside world? And so that's about, therefore, the Gemara has to try to bring proofs from things like life, and then things like that, disgusting creatures like that, like to say, in other words, we're talking about something that's very disgusting, and a person should be minimizing their use of it anyway. And he says that's finally the Gemara comes out with this proof about the old people dyeing their beards, because you see, what's the idea? If you're going to attack this kind of Yetzer Hara, you've got to attack it at the root. Otherwise, you're like these old people. They dye their beard, and the next week you see that there's white there again. You see the bad starts coming out all over again, basically.
It's a very Russia for a guy who's so against Kabbalah. It's a very
nice. Someone who learned, who's raised in Williamsburg with pears, and they reach 13 and let pears grow. Is this considered a net air?
But now's not the time to talk about it, but the Pashtus, usually, any Hanhaga Tova, Shemahag Bishlosh upon the Glaze, Nazi Shlehibli Neder, like we say in Hanhagasin, usually that's considered a Neder. Is the Pashtus, it would be considered a Neder because they follow Piskei Halacha, but it's necessary to do that. If they would want to do differently, Mustama, they'd have to be not the Neder. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Elohu B'Tanya. Okay, then what about this that we learn in a Braisa? Nazir should go whole listim. The Braita says that if a nazir was shaved by robbers, the shiru baikad lock of racial ikra, and they did leave over enough hair to be able to enough length of the hair to be able to bend over the tip to touch the root, ain't no space there. Then the Braita says he doesn't lose anything. Now, if you're gonna tell me, like we just said, that hair grows from the bottom out, Lister, then he should lose, because that was the whole point we were saying on Amud Aleph. The whole nakamina of this question was that if it grows out from the root, then it means that when they shaved him, they didn't leave over the original hair that he had at the time he declared as Nazirus, and he should be Soyser until he has a proper growth of hair. The answer is, you can answer, the Braita is talking about when they only shaved him after the full period of Nazirus is completed, so he had a 30-day Nazirus, let's say, and on the 30th day, they went and cut his hair. Umani, Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore this price would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Dama, ko acham alois, zayin soiser. He says that any time, and we had this earlier in the Masechta, we can have it later on also, that any time something happens, acham alois, after the full term of Nazirus is up, you only lose 7 days. So we learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, that Rabbi Eliezer says, let's say the Nazir becomes Tomei on his 30th day before he brings his Karbonis. So then, all he loses is 7 days, and that's only because he can't bring his Karbonis when he's Tomei. He has to wait till he's Tarah, so he has to wait till he's sprinkled with Parah Adumah water on the third and seventh day. But once he does that, he's good and he can bring his Karbonis.
The difference could have the right kind of, so what difference
is it? Because it's supposed to be done as part, it's supposed to be done together with the Karbonis. So he's going to have to wait 7 days, and then he'll be able to get his haircut. So therefore, so by the same logic over here, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, that hair grows to the lock of Fidosha Le'ikra in a week. So therefore, if the listim left over to the lock of Fidosha Le'ikra, then there's no reason to lose anything. He has enough hair to be able, according to Rabbi Yezer, to be able to, the same principle again, the principle is, according to Rabbi Yezer, if he were to become Tomei on the 30th day, he would have to do his Tiglachas Tumah, he would have to shave and bring his Karbanas Tumah, but then he only has to wait a week to bring his Karbanas Tara. So he's bringing his Karbanas Tara with only a week's growth of hair. So we see a week's growth of hair is enough according to him.
And that's because of what?
Because that's what he said. My time is Rebbe Lezer. This is what Rebbe Lezer's logic, where he said, why he said that. Yalif, Tiglachas Tarim, Tiglachas Tumah, because he learns he learns the parameters of how you have to do Tiglachas Tara from Tiglachas Tumah. Namely, Ma Tiglachas Tumah Shiva, just like when you're getting the haircut for Tumah, you only lose 7 days. Tiglachas Tara, Shiva, the same thing. When you have a Tiglachas Tara, all you need to lose is maximum 7 days. Again, this is only if it's Acha Malois. It's true. If it's Soich Malois, then we're going to have, we've talked about before, even according to Rebbe Eliezer, you're going to lose, in the case of Tumah anyway, you're going to lose some or all of your Nazirus. We learned, according to Rebbe Eliezer, you'll lose only maximum of 30 days. But whatever it is, here we're talking Acha Malois. After the 30 days, then according to him, you only lose 7. Because the Kim Lahu the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan know for a fact, Kol Zayin Yoimen, Asim Mazik Le Lokuf Rosh Le'ikre, that after 7 days, the hair grows enough to be Lokuf Rosh Le'ikre, to be able to bend down the tip to touch the root. Mazia means hair. Asim Mazia, hair comes, meaning it grows, Kedeh Lokuf Rosh Le'ikre, long enough to be able to take the tip and bend it down to touch the root. In 7 days, that's what we're saying. So that's... we're not talking about somebody who's bald. Somebody who's bald, but that's the average. That the kin lahu the rabbanon, and the rabbanon know this as a fact. Okay, it could also be, it may also depend on the climate and in general, a lot of things in halacha we say nishtanu artivim that our bodily natures are not the same as they were then. So this could also be different.
Hairy people, it could be hairy. More, but not quicker.
No, but it could also be quicker. Think of it, for example. You have people who shave, and you have people who shave, and then they can go 3 days between shaves, and then you have other people who they have a 5 o'clock shadow. They shave in the morning, and by the afternoon already you can start.
That's exactly the point. So how can you say that everybody has?
So that's what I'm saying. When we say kim lahu the rabbanon, it may be talking about the average person in those days was not necessarily. Nowadays you have a much wider range because we live in a much wider variety of climates, and we come from a lot more ancestries and so forth. Not all of us are Ben Achaben from the 12 Shvatim after all. In the times of the Chachamim, a lot of us are probably descended from Geirim. A lot of us are probably descended from Geirim on one side or another. Yeah. If you trace back, you trace back 10 generations, you already got over 1,000 ancestors, right? Unless people married close relatives.
7% of the Ashkenazi DNA comes from the Middle East.
Okay, but 3% doesn't, right? So, okay.
What?
3%? So 3%, if 97% does, and 3% doesn't, no? Okay, fine. Okay, whatever. I don't want to get too far. We could talk about this topic a long time, but just to give you a couple of examples, both having to do with the Din of Tzaraas. One is that the Mishnah in Negoyim talks about how do you detect what shade a spot of Tzaraas is on a very fair skinned person. Even a light spot is going to look darkish on a person with black skin. Even a very dull white spot is going to look bright white. How do you tell? So Rabbi Shmuel says in the Mishnah over there that Bnei Yisrael, Ani Kaparos, and he says that Jews have skin the color of Eshkeroy, a boxwood, which is a couple of shades lighter than your average boxwood. I mean, it's a type of wood, but it's not quite as dark as that, but whatever, it's a couple of shades lighter than you or me, let's say. So that's one. The other thing, we can...
Lighter than you or me?
A couple of shades darker, I think.
Darker.
Sorry.
Darker.
Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, if you look in the Torah description of Negoyim, specifically in the dinim of a Nesek, of Falas, on hairy area, on the hair or the beard, what does the pasuk say? That what's considered to be a sin of Tara, that the Nesek has been healed, Seir Shachar, black hair. Now it's true, the Mishnah says, the Sefri says, whatever, it doesn't have to be black, it means any color other than the Seir Tzar Dak that it talks about over there, but still, it means... No, but still, the point is that it seemed, on the face of it, it would mean that your average Jew, at least when the Torah was given, had black hair. Whereas nowadays, you know, you look in shul over here, and you can find, you know, some people have, you know, black, brown, blonde, red, you know. Okay. Anyway.
And nobody can deny that Jews from different parts of the world do have a different look.
Yeah.
I mean, that's undeniable.
Yeah.
Scandinavians and Russians do look different.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay. Mishnah said Nazir should gilach ben betar ben bezug, that if a Nazir shaves whether with a razor or scissors, or shesifsif kolshu, or sifsif any amount, we said again either means he pulls out the end, or it means he rubs, or whatever, then he's chayiv. So we said he's chayiv. Tar Rabbanan, we learn in a blight, so when the pasuk says tar, so the pasuk says tar lo yavar arosho, that a razor is not allowed to pass over the Nazir's head. Ainly el atar. A tar means it doesn't mean a razor like the kind they use nowadays for shaving. It means a razor like a straight edge razor, one of those old style ones. That's, yeah.
The long ones.
Yeah.
A blade.
A blade. Yeah. Yeah. That's basically the difference between a tar and zug is a pair of scissors, a pair of blades, and it doesn't give quite so close a shave. Okay, Ainli el atar. So based on that, we would only know that the Nazir is also to use a razor. Tolash, what if he pulls out the hair? Mira, is another kind of pulling out. Sifsif kol shehu. The exact difference between these various terms. The Rosh says tolash means he pulls it out by hand. Mira means he uses some kind of hair removal cream or something. And sifsif means that he rubs it until the hair falls out. Whatever it is, minayin, how do we know that he's also chayiv? Talmud Lama, because the pasuk says, Kodesh Yeh, he should be holy, Gadol Peras HaRosh, he has to grow the hair of his head long, meaning don't remove it with anything. Give it to Yoshiah. That's what Rav Yoshiah says.
No, we're talking
about the hair of his head in general, all the hair of his head.
Pera
means a long growth of hair. In the case of Shimshon, for example, how does Shimshon describe to Delilah? He mentions Sheva Machlofos Roshi, the seven locks of my hair. When I learned it in fourth grade in Cheder, they explained that he had two locks for his payas, and then the rest of his hair he made into five large braids. Here's another Shimshon, not the special type. But yeah. No, he was the type that never cuts his hair, we said. Another Shimshon never cuts his hair.
Oh, and another one cuts one.
That's what we said at the beginning of the Sefer, yeah. So Gadol Peras HaRosh, he has to grow the growth of his hair long. Give Rav Yoshiah. Rav Yonasan says differently. When the pasuk says tar, ainli el tar, based on that, based on the wording of the pasuk, you would only know he's chayev if he uses a tar. Mira tolash sipsif koshu potter. Then Rav Yonasan says, not like Rav Yoshiah are saying that he'd be osur to do that, and maybe even chayev for the malchus. No, he's potter. Now, usually, potter means potter aval osur. In this case, actually, in this case, as the Gemara is going to discuss, Rabbi Yonasan is actually saying that he's not being over any issur by doing that. He's actually allowed to do that. Or maybe not allowed, but at least he's certainly not chayav anything. Okay. Question is, v'al kodesh yeh, fine, but it says kodesh yeh, that he should be holy and he should grow his hair. So it sounds like at the very least, fine. If he uses, let's say, hair removal cream or something, according to Rav Yonasan, fine. You can't say he's over on a lois eser. But at least he should be over on the eser, on the face of it. The answer is no. Lememra, Rav Yonasan would understand that to mean that, to gilach le betar, that if he were to shave using a razor, then he would be violating an eser and a lois eser. But if he uses anything else, if he uses hair removal cream, or he pulls it out by hand, or what have you, then according to Rav Yonasan, he hasn't been over on either thing. Not the lois eser of tar, because he definitely hasn't used a tar, and not the eser of gadol peras HaRosh, because he says that also only applies to not shaving it with a razor.
Only?
That's what he said.
You know, near, yes,
So that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. That he's not letting it grow, but he's not being over on the yeah. And there is some discussion. There is some discussion among the Mepharshim. Tosfos talks about it over here, for example, that there might be a difference. For example, the sifsit business, according to Rashi, that it just means cutting off the ends. There still might be a difference whether you're doing kain tar or not. If you're using the hair removal cream, for example, and it actually removes it all the way down to the root, then it would be like a tar. Maybe, but we're talking about maybe if you use it and it doesn't get rid of quite that much hair. There's still hair above the skin line, even if maybe not for the lack of racial acre. Yeah. Actually, we learned well. I don't know about creams. We learned in Shabbos, and the Gemara has quoted it once or twice since then. That, for example, women who wanted to remove unwanted hair, they would use, we said, the poor women would use plaster, they'd smear plaster on there and wait till it dries and peel it off, sort of like waxing they do nowadays. Richer women would use fine flour to then make a paste out of it. The princesses would use oil from unripe olives, which also had the property of softening the skin and removing unwanted hair. So, yeah, they had. Okay. Tanya Idach, so that's one b'laisa. Tanya Idach, then we learn another b'laisa, tar, when the pasuk says tar, ain't the other tar, so we would only know from that it means a razor. Chola shmirat sifsif shkol shumanayin, how do we know that he's chayev also for pulling out or using hair removal cream or rubbing it, shkol shumanayin, how do we know? Talad lama lo yavar arosha, the pasuk says nothing should pass over his head. So now, unlike the first b'raisa where we looked at from Kaddish Yeh Gadol Keres Arosha, which is phrased as an essay that he should grow his hair, here we're learning it from the negative in the positive. Lo yavar arosha, nothing should pass over his head. Well, then if we end up being marpa everything, effectively what we're doing here is kind of a prat l'klal, like we talked about the other day. First it says tar, which is a prat, but then it's saying lo yavar arosha, which this b'raisa is understanding effectively as klal, so it's including everything. Including pulling it out, including queens, etc. So if we're adding everything, so what's the point of mentioning a tire in the first place? The reason is because other than that, we would not forget about a nazir cutting his hair during his nazirus. What about when the nazir is finished his nazirus? The fact that he has to cut his hair or shave his hair with a razor, we would not know that from the pasuk. So therefore, in other words, what we're doing is we're taking this word tar and using it for another inyan lakan. We don't need it over here in connection with another not being allowed to cut his hair because already Loyava Arosha teaches us that he can't use anything for that. So we use it, we move it from there a dozen psukim later to when it talks about how the nazir finishes his nazirus and cuts his hair, that then he uses the tar. And why do we need that? The Braisa says, Lamandim the Mitzurda Hiepsher. You can't say that you should learn from a Mitzurda, which the Gemara will discuss tomorrow, how we know that a Mitzurda has to shave his hair with a razor. But for the moment, let's set that aside. We have a limud for that. The Gemara will deal with that tomorrow. You would argue then, maybe it's a binyan av, once it says by a Mitzurda, maybe you should learn from that to the Nazir. Can't. She'en donin kal mechomer lahachmer olav. You can't learn a kal from a chomer to be machmer on him. A kal v'chomer doesn't work that way. A kal v'chomer would mean that if you found something by the chomer, you could apply a leniency. If you find a leniency by the chomer, how much more so it would apply to the kal. Here though, the mitzvah.
The chomer is the mitzvah.
The chomer is the mitzvah because the mitzvah doesn't just have to shave his hair. He has to shave his head. He has to shave his whole body. Therefore, that's chomer. He has a lot more hair cutting to do. So you could argue, therefore, if the pasuk is implying from the limud that we'll talk about tomorrow that a mitzurda has to have his hair shaved using a razor, maybe that's only because in his case he has to also have all his body hair shaved. No, you can't prove from that for a nazir who only needs his hair cut. Rebbe says you don't even need that limud. You don't need this limud to say that we're going to use the word tar, that we're going to take it from here and reuse it over here to teach us that the nazir gets his hair cut at the end using a tar. Because the pasuk says tar lo yavar arosha ad malois. The whole pasuk goes that kol yamei nizra tar lo yavar arosha, a razor shouldn't pass over his head, ad malois hayomim asheyir asheyazel Hashem, until the days are completed that he declared nazirus for Hashem. So Rebbe is taking the two phrases in the pasuk and putting it together as one phrase, tar lo yavar arosha ad malois. A razor shouldn't pass over his head until the completion. which means that Torah omer acham alois leitei teglachas al batar. So the Torah is implying that up until he's finished his nazirus, that the Torah is implying rather that after he finishes, what should he shave with razor? Tar, there shouldn't be a tar on his head until ad malois, which implies at malois, then there should be a tar. Yeah. So therefore, so Rebbe's saying you don't need to take the word tar and say we didn't really need it in the pasuk over here, we're going to use it over there. No, the pasuk itself is implying that acha malois is going to be a tar used for the first time. The question is, well, if tar lo yavar arosh, hey, fine, but doesn't the pasuk say, tar lo yavar arosh? So how does the Tanakhama of this Braisa say that you're including everything else also? Tolosh meder sitzef. If the pasuk says tar, how can you say that he's over on everything? The answer is lavar olav shnei lavin. That yes, it means that if he were to use a razor, then he would be over on two lavim, and he'd get two malchus if they warned him about both. Mashenchen, if he used cream, according to this braisa, he would only be getting malchus for the one, for lo yavar aroshe. And according to Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason, he'd be at least over on S. And according to Rabbi Yonason, not even that. The Rosh discusses the question. So who does our Mishnah go like? Our Mishnah that mentions that if he pulls out the hair or uses cream or whatever that he's chayim, who would that be like? So okay, it could be like the Tana of the last Braisa, but between Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Yoshi. What are the possibilities? So one possibility is Taka, the Tana of our Mishnah, and the Tana of our Braisa disagrees with both of them. Fine, they're all Tanarim, they're allowed to do that. Or the Rosh makes this distinction that I mentioned a minute ago between whether there's any of the hair left over. If you didn't leave over any of the hair above the skin, then they might agree then even Rabbi Yoshi might agree that you get malchus for that, and then the Mishnah would be according to him.
If
you don't leave any hair above the skin line, which is how a razor works.
Meaning Yahweh.
I mean, then according to the last Braisa we learned, it would be lo yavar arosh. And again, even Rabbi Yoshi might agree with that. He would say that in that case you're over on more than just an hefer. If you left hair above the skin line, then Rabbi Yoshi would say you're only over on an essay, and Rabbi Yonason would say not even that. Okay.